Oh, yeah.
Drawing.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I am Adam.
And I am Norm.
Oh, you didn't tell me we weren't doing contractions this time,
welcome,
guys.
Welcome, Earthlings.
Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone.
I am a stranger in this land.
Oh, different reference. I don't have, I got nothing to do.
We got no preamble.
I didn't talk about this.
We could talk about the fact that the Oscars were this weekend.
That is a thing that happened.
That is a thing that happened. Did you guys watch the Oscars?
No, my wife said, hey, I would like to watch the Oscars. I have a bunch of junk food. Can you take care of the child?
Oh.
So I watched a baby, which was
that
fun.
That is
too.
Mighty, mighty dad like.
Oh, I'm going to cash that one in real soon. Like that's the kind of, that's like, yeah, that's the business that you
that's really
put
good.
That in your
that
wallet
you got for that golden
that's
ticket.
Good for you.
It was a good Oscars.
I like Ellen.
Ellen, no, I will say Ellen hosted it 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That long ago.
Yeah, I know.
Seems like just
it
5 years
ago.
It was
a very different pace than normal Oscars.
Faster or slower?
I'm not even sure either, except that there was not a huge, terrible musical number. There were several pretty okay musical numbers. John Travolta butchered Idina Menzel's name.
Yes, I can't pronounce it. She sure couldn't. He got completely wrong.
This is the woman who you might have seen her. She plays the girlfriend in Enchanted, but in fact, her she's amazing because she originated the role of Elphaba in Wicked on Broadway opposite Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh, okay.
And her Elphaba is, if you've ever heard any music from that musical, if you haven't seen that musical, go see it because
really
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Second of all, the touring companies of it have taken their performance cues from Kristen Chenoweth and Idina's performances, and those performances that they built those characters together are phenomenal.
And Kristen Chenoweth is rad.
Absolutely, yeah. Totally rad. Yes, the Oscars. But Ellen did a lot of crowd work. She did a lot of sort of funny wandering the aisles and talking to people and doing crowd work.
She
How
did
much
a
of that
selfie?
You think is staged?
I saw that.
What's that?
That was staged.
Staged though, there was a kind of a weird pacing to it. I was like, hey, how you doing? You know, like sort of pauses where she messed with
she
people.
Has good she has I mean the reason she is who she is because she has amazing timing.
She totally does.
Right.
And actually you probably, yeah.
She's a great interviewer.
To a degree that's almost hard to parse how good her timing actually is.
So, yeah,
you know, it's
like I record her show. It's on Artivo, partly because my wife likes it, but partly because when she has an interview with somebody interesting on, she asks softball questions 90% of the time. But she's a really, really good interview.
She gets the
timing and she gets the pace of the whole thing. And it's good to watch.
She's smart. She's empathetic. She's really funny. She's got that timing knowledge honed by decades on the road.
Yep.
Yeah. I really liked the weird crowd work that she did. I thought getting the pizza for everybody in the aisle and like Brad Pitt chowing down on pizza, her joke to Liza Minnelli, she said, there's a Liza Minnelli impersonator here tonight who's amazing. That got a laugh. And then she said, seriously, excellent work, sir.
Yeah. Oh, Liza Minnelli burn.
She
I don't
went,
know, man.
She went dark. She
Lucille
went really
too.
Dark. I enjoyed the Oscars, and I actually thought that the spread of awards was pretty good. I'm really glad to
spread
see Spike
of
Jones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for her. Yes.
That was absolutely great. I was really glad to see.
Wait, have we talked about her yet?
I have not seen
it. Okay.
I haven't seen it either.
We have to see it.
I'm hoping it's going to be back in theaters again. It might still be in theaters here.
I think it ought
here.
To be.
Gravity won for Best Director,
which I loved that movie. Boy, it was a toss-up for me between that and 12 Years a Slave.
So I didn't see 12 Years a Slave, but I watched Gravity again on Saturday night. And while it was wonderful and gorgeous and very moving, it did not have anywhere near the same impact on the second viewing that it did on the first.
Or not on IMAX.
Whether that's an IMAX thing, I think it's actually that it's story beats that I wasn't expecting going in.
That's also true. But there's also the fact that you know, it's hard to ignore how much innovation that film just instantly in one swath brought to filmmaking.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that it was such a standout last night.
Yeah. Gravity won a lot of awards.
Yeah.
It also almost swept. I mean, it was not to put the Grammys argument here, but it also made a lot of money for what it was kind of a risky commercial
endeavor. On the other front, though, you have Dallas Buyers Club, in which Jared Leto and Matthew McConaughey both won for Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, and this is my favorite, the makeup department won for makeup.
Yes.
Their budget, if the headline on Reddit is correct, their budget was like $300 for makeup for that whole film.
Does Matthew McConaughey in makeup this year? And, great.
I haven't seen Dallas Buyers Club. My wife didn't said it's amazing. It's and actually, yeah. Jared Leto and Matthew McConaughey are both shockingly brilliant.
So someone told you 10 years ago Matthew McConaughey was going to win an Oscar for acting.
Hold on.
Before Leonardo DiCaprio.
He had some real good early roles. Aside from Days of Confusion and all that stuff.
Has been great since then.
Lone Star.
The Lone Star, that's
it. Lone Star.
Yeah. He's I think this means I can't, since he's won an Oscar, I can't refer to him as Matthew McConaughey anymore.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Lone Star seems like Chris Cooper, early Chris Cooper film.
Wow, Chris Cooper started late then. Elizabeth Pena. I didn't realize that.
Yes, I am right. Yeah. At any rate, the Oscars were lovely.
Yeah.
But I don't have a segue, just except, hey, drawing.
Sometimes, you know, the best animated category was Frozen.
Frozen won for best, and it's nice. Well,
is it a 2D?
It's not a 2D.
In a long time that Pixar hasn't had a film.
Since Cars 2, I think. Yeah. Sorry, Pixar. Sorry.
Pixar wasn't nominated.
There's no Pixar movie this year,
there is no new Pixar movie this year, so it'll be two years in a row. I was a little disappointed that Wind Rises didn't win, but I know people love Frozen. I haven't seen it yet.
Was the Wind Rises actually nominated?
It was nominated. They got it in, and it's always weird with the Oscars in terms of like
foreign movies and foreign...
In terms of like how many releases to get
how many
in
screens you need to be on before...
For the end of the year, and you know, summer movies never get nominated and that kind of stuff. What's in recent memory.
Every year there's there's controversy about the in memoriam sequence of the people who died this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were two omissions this year that I was shocked by.
Who?
Jonathan Winters.
Really?
Not included.
How do you...
Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina is a big one.
Yeah. Not included.
I didn't know Dennis Farina was dead.
Dennis Farina died this year. It's very sad. He's one of my favorite actors. I love him. Love him.
Yeah.
Neither of them included.
I saw the Bill Murray, Harold Ramis thing. That was very sweet.
That was awesome. And as soon as I saw, and I don't know what's going on between Steve McQueen and his writer, but Steve McQueen did this sort of, this
like
Pillsbury
a sarcastic
doughboy clap while, yeah. And the screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave did not thank Steve McQueen. And we were all laughing about it. And I was like, mark my words, this will be the gif of the day tomorrow morning. And like my friend Arlene, who was over, she was like, yep, sure thing, first thing on Gawker, there it is.
It's pronounced GIF, Adam.
Yeah, it's GIF.
GIF.
It's GIF.
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 Purpose of language.
Is it a giraffe?
If people understand what I mean.
Is it a giraffe?
Don't.
No.
That's all
no.
I want to know.
Stop it.
So speaking of
is
drawing.
Is it flaccid? Because that's correct pronunciation. Anyway,
right, that's it. Show's over. We're not doing this podcast anymore.
Animated films. Wind Rises, which I
can't work under these conditions anymore.
FYI,
this is deteriorated rapidly.
There's a lot of there are a lot of ways to go from animated films. We had talked about the Lego Movie.
Basically, this is part parcel of by way of I've been doing a lot of drawing over the past few days.
So. And you've been doing both functional and kind of, you know, not just drawing sketches and diagrams and plans and things
like that. I draw sketches and diagrams and plans all day long.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good at it. I understand single point and two point perspective, orthographic views and that kind of stuff. I've always understood that. But as you know, I like to get obsessed about the projects and I like to really foment the obsession.
I'm looking at it right now.
So yeah, we can't even talk about
No.
it.
No.
Yeah. So I like to foment the obsessions and I do this in lots of different ways. I gather every piece of information I can around the project. I will also gather every piece of ancillary information. I will come up with alternative publications like manuals and stuff for the thing that I'm building. I have done that in the past. But I had never tried up until this point. And this project that I'm working on, we've covered a little bit of it on Tested in the past, but it's got many, many different parts. It's incredibly complex. It's probably the most complicated prop I have ever attempted to replicate. And there are several in the running for that award.
It's breathtaking. I mean, both the diagrams and sketches and the plans, as well as the actual...
Finishing photos, screenshots...
And so I was inspired by Tom Sachs. I was looking through his book of Space Program when he did the Mars landing at the Gagosian Gallery in LA. And
that was the second Space Program thing, right? Yeah.
And he has these beautiful drawings he does. And I was looking at these drawings and they were really kind of getting to me in the right way. I was thinking, I get him drawing this. I get the need to illustrate the thing that you've been building and obsessing and looking at pictures of.
Isn't it the same need when you replicate something to drawing it is just another layer on top of that in terms of replicating it, but in 2D form.
That ends up being sort of, I've long said that building anything for me is about putting it into my head and then understanding its totality and kind of spinning it around. And so for me, I look for complicated things to imbue into my head, like on plane rides and when on car drives and when I'm just like not working or not thinking about other stuff. It's that obsession that it feeds and becomes a sort of a meditation. And the drawing, so actually inspired by Tom's drawings, and we'd covered my Mercury suit, I attempted to do some drawings of the Mercury suit, but it was too close to Tom's drawings of his spacesuits. And I'd already sort of passed out of the Mercury mode at that point.
But it also wasn't something that you'd built.
Right.
I mean, that's a key.
Right.
Yeah.
That is totally
Because you're not as intimately familiar with that as you are with the thing that we're not talking about.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
I just paid for my parking meter. I just apologize for using the phone during this stream.
From the internet.
It's the future.
So I started out by drawing a part. Okay. I was like, let me just draw a really beautiful drawing of this part with all the things called out, 220 screws, brass, flathead, what kind of thing this is, the bevel, every measurement. I wanted to draw a drawing so that someone else could replicate this part from scratch if they had to. And I'm not going to do just straight elevations and plan views. I'm going to do orthographic views and it's going to be a little bit sloppy.
What's an orthographic view? I apologize.
Just like looking at it from a perspective standpoint, like a three-quarter
so
view.
So stuff closer to you is bigger and stuff further away is smaller.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I drew this one drawing and I was like, oh, I'm really happy with that. So I drew a second one. I'm like, I'm even happier with that one. And then I sat at the kitchen dining room table for 6 hours and drew like 7 or 8 drawings. And I've been doing one about every 2 or 3 days since then. And it's going to end up, I'm not sure how I'm going to end up with the reveal and the packaging and all of this stuff, but I think we'll try and take a picture of a teaser of one of these sketches to post.
Yes,
along with this, because we can't just do this and show nothing.
Talking about the visual.
We'll
element.
Show the page after the page with the drawing, one of the last drawing on it, the most recent one. And we'll give you just enough light that you can maybe see the shadow of the indentation of the pencil through the paper.
But it has been to a certain degree. Part of the meditation is the tedium of crawling over every detail.
What makes you more familiar with it?
There is a joy to that. And the drawing is feeding this tedium in this whole new, really exciting kind of way.
Can you talk about the specific process of your drawing?
Well, I'm using these mechanical pencils I buy. Papermate makes them, mm-hmm. where you twist the pointy bit and the lead comes out the tip. Okay. My favorite mechanical pencils of all.
The ones that are yellow and they look like...
Yep. They look like pencils. Yeah. Papermate, go get them. They buy them by the dozen. I have hundreds at any given point because I use them constantly.
There's always one at hand.
So, yes. And they erase really well. So the line is really crisp and mm-hmm. sharp, but they erase really well. So I do the drawing. I rough out the drawing in that. And then I go over it in a really fine 0.01 black pen. And I've got a couple of different ones. Stabler is a pen manufacturer. And I got another. I'm still playing around with what brand I love the most.
I'm partial to the Uniball, but they're 0.28 or 0.38.
Yeah, so
I'm going
so crazy small with some of these details. I'm literally like taking off my glasses and like, and I'm going to eventually scan these and also add to them digitally. Mm-hmm. I've got places where, you know, I've got an exploded diagram where I want to do the screw paths in red so that you see where everything goes all over.
Is this something you've done before? Sorry, Norm.
No, I have done... I haven't done serious sketching of projects, of self-generated projects in a long time.
I have to imagine like R2-D2 is a project that is of similar or greater complexity than this.
Yeah, I didn't do very many sketches of R2. It was more like pictures with call-outs. It was more like, so yeah.
So you took frame grabs and pictures?
Yeah, so I'll do something like, okay, let's take R2's front. R2's front is comprised of, there's the coin slots, there's the power button, there is the vents here, there are the arms. Now I take pictures of screenshots of each of these and then close-ups and then measurements and then blueprints, and those each go in a folder by the name of that item.
Okay.
And so then I'll make compendium drawings where I call out each of those. That's what these are all called. So when I go back in, so my often when I'm done with a project, what started out as a single folder for pictures becomes like 75 subfolders of all the subcategories. And there will be drawings because I do like to do drawings. And I do, this project I'm working on involves a lot of cloth and patterns. Mm-hmm. And those patterns all need to be drawn full scale. And those get put into a book. I have kept a long book of this, of the process of building this, basically a Moleskine graph book, a full 8.5 by 11 Moleskine graph paper book. And I have about a dozen of those for different projects because they're really good for working in. But as far as bridging this gap between making drawings that are illustrations of what I'm doing as well as sort of feeding the beast, the obsession, this is new, and it's kind of feels like an awesome. Like, as soon as we leave here, I'm going to go home, order some dinner, and sit down.
Are you using graph paper?
What's that?
Are you using graph paper or using other tools to help you with your guiding?
No, I'm actually not. And that's sort of on purpose. I kind of want the... It's not going to ever be a perfect illustration because I am not that kind of drawer. So I want the kind of... The hand of the maker on it, the sort of... wrong line.
It's the intent.
Semi-shitty.
Not the actuality.
What I like is that...
It makes it accessible to me.
Yeah.
You know, if it's perfect. I mean, I could draw one, take it into Photoshop, skew it, and make five and make them beautiful and do, you know, force perspective and get this, draw guidelines and everything. Mm-hmm. But that's not exactly what I want out of this. I want a drawing that's like, yeah, I drew that. It's a thing and it's not perfect, but it's...
And also it's something where if you look at like a blueprint where you just, it's very purposeful on one end of the spectrum, it's beautiful, can be beautiful and has very specific purpose. And on the other side, if you look at someone who's drawing a blowout diagram for the art's sake, you know, a lot of people like doing those, you know, cross sections and look gorgeous. You're somewhere in the middle where you have this purpose where, like you said, you want to draw something where someone could follow along and recreate the prop that you're working on. But in that, you come out with something that's beautiful.
Well, and it's a difficult problem because you've got all these things going on. You've got information, you've got graphics. My time spent as a graphic designer is really key in this, to get a balance of elements, to where do the titles go? How does this communicate what's going on here? Where's the measurement for that?
Where should the white space be?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're thinking about that as you're drawing, because
totally.
You're not going to fix that in post.
No, I'm not going to fix it in post.
Well, you have an eraser.
Yes.
Or the idea is that it doesn't need to be fixed.
Right. Right. It's very exciting. So we'll tease a pic.
Yes.
We'll tease a pic with this podcast.
Or we could do the thing with the shadows. That's fine too.
This will be revealed. We have plans for revealing this build because it's been proceeding apace.
Should we say in the next 9 months, perhaps?
At the most. Okay. I'd say the next 6 months.
So by the end of 2014.
By the end of 2014.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
For sure.
This will be ready by the summer.
Okay. I like your optimism, sir.
Yes.
Now, if you would like to support the podcast, we get to the plugging
bit. And I know
that
you would like to support the podcast. We're going to get Ira Glass on here to do a...
He does the best. He makes you feel
I just
so
want to send him
guilty.
Money.
I know.
I just... Please, I'll do anything, sir. I'm going to have to edit that bit out. Send reviews. Like us on Facebook, iTunes, reviews, comments, ratings. The whole thing is good. YouTube comments are great. We love to hear what you think about the shows. If you are interested in more behind the scenes content, things like, you know, say extended build videos.
Yes.
Norm or I building Lego at a human scale rather than the incredibly sped up scale, which we normally do Lego builds. Stuff like that, you can find it by going to tested.com/premium and signing up for a premium tested membership. I guess that'll do it for us this week.
I think that'll do it.
Yeah, we'll
thanks
see you.
Thanks for coming around.
We'll see you on next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.